Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, and they are sponsored by ZipRecruiter. Right now, listeners to Three Martini Lunch can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/martini. More on that a little bit later in the podcast. Jim, our good news, I believe for the second time this summer, is UN sanctions aimed at North Korea after they have once again misbehaved very badly, to put it mildly, on the world stage. Here is the BBC version of the story. The United States has imposed a fresh round of sanctions on North Korea after its sixth and largest nuclear test. The measures restrict oil imports and ban textile exports in an attempt to starve the North of fuel and income for its weapons programs. The U.S. had originally proposed harsher sanctions, including a total ban on oil imports. Pyongyang said it categorically rejected what it called an illegal resolution. The North Korean ambassador to the UN told a conference in Geneva that the forthcoming measures by North Korea will make the U.S. suffer the greatest pain it has ever experienced in its history. Monday's vote was only passed unanimously after Pyongyang allies Russia and China agreed to the reduced measures. The new sanctions agreed to by the UN Security Council include limits on imports of crude oil and oil products, a ban on exports of textiles, a ban on new visas for North Korean overseas workers, which the U.S. estimates would eventually cut off $500 million of tax revenue per year. A proposed asset freeze and a travel ban on Kim Jong-un were ultimately dropped, I'm guessing, in order to get China and Russia on board. So another success, Jim, for Trump through the work of Nikki Haley at the U.N. Hard to know whether Kim Jong-un is really all that upset about this or not, but once again, we're showing leadership on the world stage that hopefully has some teeth in it.
You know, Greg, I'm looking ahead to our end of the year awards, and I don't know if we have a category that would kind of fit the most valuable player of the new administration, but I think Nikki Haley is making a strong sales pitch or strong contention for that role. Maybe you might want to say Ryan Zinke or Mattis or somebody else, but look, there have been a lot of times in the past couple of years the United States has gone to the United Nations and basically begged other countries in the Security Council, most notably Russia and China, to please just let us put a little bit of pressure on North Korea. And generally, we get one half of the minimal level that we really wanted. Here we now finally have something that looks like, as Nikki Haley said, this is going to hit them. They're going to feel this. This is not going to be something they're going to be easily ignored. Now, look, this may result in them firing more missiles. This may result in them setting up more nukes. But it is good to see the United Nations, including our countries that are not usually aligned with us, and I think we're accurately described as some of our preeminent geopolitical foes by somebody back in 2012, that they are finally kind of coming around and recognizing, okay, these guys really are getting dangerous. They really are starting to get destabilizing. We cannot just simply enjoy them causing chaos for the United States and their allies. So good job, Nikki Haley. Good job for the administration. And hopefully this will act as a bit of a deterrent for the increasingly provocative actions of the North Korean regime.
Jim, was that an anonymous shout out to future Utah Republican Senator Mitt Romney?
Yeah, I'm wondering how much stock to put into that report. I think it'd be very interesting to see. Obviously, it depends on whether Orrin Hatch decides to retire. It all kind of depends on how much stock you put in the assessment of UtahPolicy.com. I'm not terribly familiar with them, so it could be true, could not be true. My guess is this is the sort of thing that Mitt Romney gets mentioned in the context of pretty frequently. I know earlier in the year he'd thought about it, then he'd kind of turned against it. It would be kind of fascinating to watch Mitt Romney as a senator. You got to wonder if at some point there will be the rupture between the Trump administration or the president and his philosophies, and more traditional conservatives will burst out into the open. It hasn't happened for a long yet, but maybe enough deals with Schumer and Pelosi will make that happen. We'll see how this shakes out, but it would be really strange. And I was trying to look this up, Greg. How many people can say they've been a governor of one state and a senator from another?
That would be a pretty short list, I have a feeling.
Yeah.
Wow, that would be something. But it has been done, even by former presidents. Andrew Johnson was in the Senate. Of course, everyone wants to emulate Andrew Johnson. John Quincy Adams went back to Congress afterwards. So it's interesting that Orrin Hatch said, I think I'm going to run again, unless, you know, somebody really great like Mitt Romney decides to run, probably assuming that he wouldn't. And then if this is true, Mitt Romney's saying, okay. And now the ball is back in Orrin Hatch's court. But I think most of us wish Mitt Romney had been successful in his first Senate run back in Massachusetts in 1994 when he was running pretty tight there for a while with Ted Kennedy before losing at the end. But let's move on to a more current race, and that is the Virginia governor's race here in our Bad Martini. And while Democratic nominee Ralph Northam, who is currently the lieutenant governor, is the focal point of this story, he's not necessarily the focal point of the Bad Martini. Jim, you wrote about this in a story that was posted on National Review Online earlier today. And in part of the piece, you also mentioned the fact that Ralph Northam tells folks to go to his website to read his tax plan, which doesn't exist. And then he also talks a lot about education, and that's where a lot of your report on this also goes. Virginia Democratic gubernatorial nominee Ralph Northam pledges in a new commercial that if he is elected, he will raise teacher pay, emphasize science and math, and make college more affordable because, quote, every child in Virginia should know that if they work hard, there is a bright future ahead of them, unquote. And for much of the rest of the piece, you point out that actually Virginia education is going pretty well right now. Teachers are ranked 10th in the nation, and education levels are doing well. But the larger point you make here is that Northam, like politicians on both sides of the aisle, tried to make voters believe that if you just elect me, your children will be a great success and all your problems will be solved. So first of all, kudos to you for pointing out the nonsense in that. But what do you make of the fact that both politicians keep doing this, and to some extent, people keep believing it?
Apparently, they yanked it once they realized the Slido. That, honest to goodness, the logo says, you know, read the plan, RalphNortham.com. Except, you know, this is where the narrator would step in, but there was no plan for them to read. as I joke, this is what happens when the left hand of the campaign doesn't know what the other left hand of the campaign is doing. he's got one line about he wants to reduce a tax plan in his economic section, but there's nothing resembling the tax plan that he's talking about in this ad. You know, they can quickly replace this. They'll throw together a kumbaya, hooray for tax cuts. We want to target them. We wouldn't let the rich have any tax cuts, you know, because they might actually spend it and use it and improve the economy. What really kind of stuck with me was this ad. It's now, you're now starting to see it on airwave. Ralph Northam, the gubernatorial race really is beginning to heat up here in Virginia. And it just seemed like the same old pledges we've heard from candidates that you know, well, we're gonna raise teacher pay. Okay. As I, you know, point out in the article, if you look at where Virginia teachers are paid, they're paid about 10th in the country out of the 50 states. That's not bad. That's pretty darn good, in fact. If you look in places like where I am, Fairfax County, they get paid quite a pretty penny. Arlington, Alexandria is having just recently lived in that school district, we can argue about whether they deserve it when they're taking off days for the March on Washington and stuff like that. But, you know, all in all, I mean, then I looked at, you know, we'll teach kids more math and science. Well, according to the national tests, we're doing best in science and third in math, or perhaps I might have that backwards, but just being that Virginia schools are pretty good. Now, obviously, it depends a great deal, school to school, district to district. But what it really seemed to me is to play to this anxiety amongst parents, particularly, let's just say, hyper-achievement-driven suburban parents, not that I live amongst them, not that I may exhibit that trait every now and then, this perception of, oh, our kids aren't learning enough math and science, STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, science, technology, engineering, math, you know, trying to drill it into kids' minds. And it just seems like it's playing to this anxiety that is really not rooted in certainly the major factors. And the kind of question you're kind of left with this nagging sense is like, look, I like Ed Gillespie. I'm going to vote for the guy, but I'm not expecting him to take my children's schools from pretty good to really good. I really think that's much more on me and the other parents and the teachers and our community here. I might be arguing against incentive to say that I don't think gubernatorial races are going to make that much of a difference for your children's school. But it just kind of seemed that this whole tone of, like, you know, every child can achieve their dream as long as Ralph Northam wins. No! Ralph Northam has nothing to do with that. And for that matter, not that much as Ed Gillespie doesn't have to do with it. It's up to you. It's up to your kid and how hard they work. It's up to your spouse. It's up to your... the whole support network for that child is a much bigger deal than who sits in the governor's mansion for the next 4 years. And I just got tired of it. And I've gotten some nice positive response from that. I realize this is what campaigns do. If you elect me, it'll be utopia. Hope and change. As Trump said, I alone can fix it. This is what campaigns do. But I'm left with the point of when we're going to learn from this and to say, look, you politicians cannot fix your life for you. If you want a better life, you need to do it yourself. You need to do it yourself. You need to build these little Burkean platoons, and they will improve your community way more than electing some guy will. And I kind of feel like there's this cultivation of learned helplessness on the part of the electorate that basically, oh, you just got to vote for the right guy and everything will be fine. And I just don't think that that's really how things work in this country, or really anywhere. And I'm just kind of tired of this endless series of utopian promises. So take that, Ralph Northam. I saw the Republican Governors Association said that I shredded him today. I didn't really try to shred. I poked. I may have jabbed a little bit, but I am not. I'm not getting out the cheese grater. That comes later.
I'm also entertained by the latest Northam ad in response to the Ed Gillespie ad that he's basically been AWOL as lieutenant governor. And the response in his ad is, I was always there for my patients when I was a doctor. So, because that's, a direct response to whether or not you've been on the job.
That's a good reason to keep him as a doctor. And you might be a great doctor. Good for you, Ralph Northam. It just doesn't seem, if you weren't that into the lieutenant governor job, I'm not sure why would you be, oh, let's make this guy governor.
Yeah, and any diehard Democrats out there, remember Ralph Northam voted for George W. Bush. So, also, I'm hoping to see a ramping up of the attorney general's race because Mark Herring, who has basically become a political cheerleader for every radical left-wing cause, can run for re-election in Virginia, and hopefully he'll lose to the great-sounding name of the Republican nominee, John Adams. How can you not vote for John Adams?
I was about to say, considering everything he did for the founding days of our country, Giamatti played him in that whole HBO series. Look, if you can't support John Adams, what kind of an American are you?
That's right.
Wait, he's a different guy? Oh, never mind.
And he's promised not to pass the Alien and Sedition Acts if he's elected.
There you go. Attorney exactly. General. Even better than the original.
Yes, exactly. So the point here, Virginia voters, is that you get to decide. ZipRecruiter can't really help too much with who you vote for the key statewide offices in Virginia and also New Jersey this year. But when it comes to actually hiring for your business and finding the right people the first time, ZipRecruiter is definitely where you want to go. So the question is, are you hiring and do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates to fill those positions? With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else does.
That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. In fact, more than 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. So have no more juggling emails or calls coming into your office. You can simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard.
Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, listeners to 3 Martini Lunch can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Yep, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/martini. That's ZipRecruiter.com/martini. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/martini. Jim, onto our crazy martini now, and another guy named Jim. It's not often that we spend a lot of time on this podcast talking about New York Fashion Week. As much as you and I are fascinated by the event each year, I assume it's each year, I don't even know. But Jim Carrey appeared at this, and I don't know if he was on something or he's just troubled in a lot of different ways. Both of those could be true, I guess. E, of course, was there on the red carpet or whatever passed as the red carpet at this event, and Jim Carrey was trying to waltz right by, and this reporter grabbed him and probably regretted it afterwards. Here's a little bit of their exchange.
Tell me, Is it true you're wandering the streets? You need a date to the party? What's up?
No. I'm doing just fine. I just, there's no meaning to any of this. So I wanted to find the most meaningless thing that I could come to and join, and here I am.
They're celebrating.
I mean, you got to admit it's completely meaningless.
Well, they say they're celebrating icons inside.
Celebrating
Do you
believe icons.
In icons,
boy, that is just the absolute lowest aiming, possibility that we could come up with.
Greg, I think he was on something. He was on sodium pentothal, truth serum.
Wow. So Jim Carrey getting a little existential there, and kind of depressingly so. Later on, he said we were all just a bunch of tetrahedrons and we're not really there. So Jim Carrey's definitely got some issues that most folks have probably been aware of for a while. So some folks might be wondering, Jim, why are these guys talking about New York Fashion Week? And Jim Carrey, even though there was a good comment about the seriousness of the event, turns out you had some close quarters with these folks recently.
As luck would have it, yes, Greg. In addition to being the recently concluded National Review transatlantic cruise, where we left Southampton, not too far from London, and sailed into New York, just happened, in addition to being the National Review cruise on Cunard Cruise Lines, it was also Fashion Week Cruise Line. I guess it led into Fashion Week in New York City, and so there were we were blessed with the presence of models of both men and women, and however they chose to identify themselves, as well as fashion designers. And I guess there was some for it. I know it'll stun you, listeners, but I did not actually attend any of these events. From the little tables where we were doing our kind of, roundtable discussions and other events with the National Review Cruisers, every once in a while someone would say, yeah, it's kind of like these silly-looking male models on board. Our chairman of our board of directors, John Hillen, took great offense at that and said that he had, he's proud of his history as a male model. I think he's joking, but who knows? Maybe he modeled a watch there somewhere along the line. But what I kind of, so there was that. This was undoubtedly the most natural companionship since the National Review cruise left from Amsterdam during Gay Pride Week. We just managed to pick just the right areas and places to voyage and a fun time is had by all. I just kind of really enjoyed the Jim Carrey's outburst. It was a little bit of a truth bomb, almost existential. Like, who are we and why are we here? And what is the meaning of life? And why are we all distracting ourselves with this? But I think it was a worthy puncturing of the pomposity that goes around with some of these events. And if fashion is your thing, wonderful. God bless you. Lord knows that I have my own silly distractions and frivolities in life, the Jets and Twin Peaks and stuff like that. Man, I've been on a bad streak of things disappointing me lately, now that I think about it. So hopefully Fashion Week was better for you. But I want to give a little bit of a tip of the hat to Jim Carrey for just kind of observing that we should not take ourselves too seriously about these things. And his point that celebrating icons, basically we're going to take people who are already rich, famous, and celebrated and celebrate them even more. rather than spotlight anyone who might deserve it, someone who might be overlooked, someone who probably needs a little more recognition and appreciation and applause, we're going to take already famous people and salute them for still being famous. So way to go, Fashion Week. Way to go.
Did you have to create a safe space for your roundtables just in case any of the Fashion Week people happen to stumble across those conversations?
I was hoping at some point somebody would wander into the wrong one. And you'd see the fashion people coming here and saying, man, these models over here, they're very schlubby. They're really not dressed all that nicely. Although it was a Cunard cruise, so I at least was wearing like a suit jacket and stuff like that. And then go into the fashion model. Some of our National Review cruisers are saying, when are they going to talk about politics? They just keep walking around in circles. Maybe it's a metaphor for the first couple months of the Trump administration. I don't know. I don't recognize any of these people.
Oh, the fun is endless on the National Review cruise, and you just never know who you're going to share the boat with.
You really never know who you're going to bump into.
Oh, Jim, great story. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today, and be sure to tune in again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.